Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished members of Forum, Your Excellency Secretary General, distinguished delegates, observers, and friends. With great pleasure and honor, I now declare open the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. It is a special pleasure to extend a warm welcome to all of you. I would also like to thank the Secretary General, who has always supported the work of the Forum on Indigenous Issues. In accordance with the customs of the indigenous peoples and in recognition of the peoples of these lands, we will now have the traditional ceremony welcome by the Chief of Onondaga Nation, Chief Tododaho Sid Hill.
Don't see your second joke. Eat and guy when duck what the K1 duck what may I have you know when you care.
Greetings. Greetings to everybody that's here assembled. We'll start out with putting our minds together as one, and give thanks.
It's too loud. Here's the volume.
This is too loud.
Too loud.
So that way we'll keep it in our minds as one. We'll start off now at this time with giving thanks to our mother. Our Mother Earth, she's providing for us and it's still carrying on that way. We give thanks as one, all of us put our minds together as one, and we'll keep it that way in our minds. And then now also, the peace is here with us that they have planted to help take care of us as sustenance. What he put here on Earth, on Mother Earth, is to help all of us as we walk about. We'll put our minds kindly and respectfully together as one and give thanks to all that was planted. Let it be that way in our minds. And so now the winds have come, the calm winds, and we give thanks to them as the changing winds appear. And sometimes there's some that are fast winds. We appreciate it when the winds, the calming winds, the changing weathers of the calming winds come. And they help with all to be at peace here on Earth, our Mother. And we kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give thanks to the winds that they still carry on. And so now we move on to our grandfathers. And they come from the west. The thunder beings, and they carry water and also the sun, our brother, that warms the earth to help all that was planted for to be take care of us as we walk about here on earth. And also our grandmother. We kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and give thanks for all the duties that are still being carried on to have peace for all of us as we walk about on earth. And also here about on earth as we walk about the peace that we give thanks for. help keep our minds straight from the sky world. The four messengers help guide us in the right path of our good thinking and the good mind that we all carry, that we use throughout the times that we walk on earth. And we receive this message of peace and how to carry on our duties, our responsibilities for us that survive on earth here. We roll all our minds together respectfully and kindly and give thanks to this message, the person that brought this message to us. And that way we'll keep it in our minds. And now we direct our thoughts to the Creator. It's true what He has put down here during the daytimes and during the nighttimes that we, for us people to walk about here on earth, and there's a way of fixing things with Him in our minds so we'd be at peace. And the love that He put down here for all of us to share throughout the daytime, throughout the nighttime. We kindly and respectfully put our minds together as one and direct our thoughts toward the sky world, to the Creator. That is all.
I thank Toda Dahu Sithil for the ceremonial welcome to the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished delegates, we shall now proceed to the first item on the agenda, the election of the chair for this session. I first give the floor to Mr. Saul Vincent Vasquez.
Muchísimas gracias.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kabizanaka.
Nudo ya najidi tijinga sikarune nanjo para girashi shenu. Diuskija pelato.
The speaker spoke in an indigenous language. Mr. Sukan, Undersecretary General for the Department of Economic and Social Affairs, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations. Before submitting my proposal, if I may, I would like to make the following comment. The indigenous peoples, especially those of Latin America, last year were called to participate in the festivities of the independence of our countries, to celebrate that event. Many indigenous peoples said that we had nothing to celebrate, no festivities to attend, because we were excluded from those events. And more specifically, our rights were never fully recognized. And that most especially concerns the rights of women, indigenous women. Today, where we are to elect a chair of this 10th session of the Permanent Forum, on this day, without any detriment to the gender which I represent, I'd like to say that before this session, we believe there should be a woman at the helm, an indigenous woman, to lead us. With our solidarity, reciprocity, I believe that women in our indigenous peoples have been those who have sustained our cultural values, our identities, and they continue to uphold them to this very date, despite the process of discrimination which has been levied against our peoples. And for that reason, if I may, I would like to put forth a proposal, submit the name of a woman. On my list, I have a number of names of extraordinary women, And yet, I have to propose one to represent us. Therefore, I would like to make the proposal of Dr. Miriam Cunningham, who is an extraordinary indigenous woman. Since her youth, she has been at the forefront of a number of battles, fighting for her people, for her lands, for her territories, and she continues to fight to this date. She continues to fight for the young so that the struggle for our people's rights will be maintained, strengthened, and continue. And she is involved in all the processes of strengthening for our people. And that's why, sir, I am now proposing Madam Dr. Myrna Cunningham. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Saul Vincent Vasquez for the nomination of Ms. Myrna Cunningham as the chair of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I now give the floor to Ms. Helen Cowdulate. In front of me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the honor to second the proposal just made. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
So, my take it that it is the wish of members of the Permanent Forum to elect Ms. Myrna Cunningham as the chair of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues by once again acclamation. It is so decided. I wish to extend my warmest congratulations to Ms. Cunningham on her election. I'm confident that she will guide this session of the forum to a successful conclusion. I would now like to invite Ms. Cunningham to take over the proceedings of the meeting. Before doing so, I would like to thank Mr. Carlos Mamani for his leading role as chair of the previous session of the forum and invite him to pass the baton to Ms. Cunningham as newly elected chair of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues.
I'd like to thank Mr. Shas Susang for opening this session, Undersecretary General for the Department of Economic and Social Affairs. Before proceeding, I should also like to thank the members of the Permanent Forum for electing me as the chair of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I will make every effort to the extent that I can to ensure the smooth conduct of this session. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers, friends, ladies and gentlemen, as chair of the session, I am particularly happy on behalf of the members of the forum to extend a warm welcome to our distinguished guests at this opening meeting. His Excellency, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, and His Excellency, Mr. Shas Susang, Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs. I now invite His Excellency, Mr. Ban Ki-moon, Secretary General of the United Nations, to make a statement. Sir, Excellency, you have the floor.
Thank you, Dr. Mirina Cunningham, Chairperson, Undersecretary General Xia Jugang, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, Excellencies, Indigenous Elders, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure for me to be here with you today. I'm happy to open this 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. At the outset, Madam Chair, I would like to congratulate you on your election as the Chair of the 10th PFII. And under your leadership, I hope that the well-being and rights of Indigenous people will be fully guaranteed. And as Secretary General, you can count on me. Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome to all the indigenous representatives from around the world. You have traveled long distances, physically, but also in the struggle to achieve your rights. Welcome also to the new members of the forum. I look forward to working closely with you. This is the forum's 10th anniversary. 10 years, 10 years of fighting against the decades of marginalization, 10 years of uniting different cultures to reach shared goals, 10 years of pushing for indigenous rights. The road has been tough, but the rewards are real. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples finally has the consensus it deserves. Now we need to make the Declaration's principles a reality. To those who do not grasp the Declaration's importance, I say protecting and promoting the rights of Indigenous peoples benefits us all. We see examples around the world. In Peru, indigenous communities are responding to climate change by reintroducing native varieties of potatoes. They have support from a United Nations-backed fund benefiting poor farmers. Now they are helping conserve the earth biodiversity. We know that indigenous peoples have a close spiritual relationship with nature. Now we have to make the connection between their knowledge, your knowledge, and our world. Indigenous peoples have been living in a green economy for centuries. When economists today look for new ways to achieve sustainable development, they should look at old practices in indigenous communities. Ancient indigenous traditions can help overcome modern problems. The goal is not to appropriate your knowledge, to extract it or exploit it, but to respect indigenous peoples and help preserve their traditions. There is an indigenous saying that when an elder dies, it is like a light burning out. This is a beautiful expression of respect for the wisdom of age. But it could also be a warning. We could just as easily say that when an indigenous custom dies, it is like a light burning out. If that is true, our world is growing darker. Today, one indigenous language dies every 2 weeks. Indigenous cultures are threatened with extinction. Billions of indigenous peoples continue to lose their lands, their rights, and their resources. They make up one-third of the world's 1 billion rural poor, and they are among the most vulnerable and marginalized of any group. Indigenous women, who are the custodians of so much rich heritage, often suffer the most. We do not have enough studies of the problems, but the studies we do have shows appalling gaps. Indigenous peoples do not live as long as others. They suffer higher rates of diseases like diabetes and tuberculosis. The children are less likely to survive past the age of 5. Their communities are less likely to thrive. This forum can play a dynamic role in changing this deplorable situation and helping indigenous peoples around the world achieve the self-determination they deserve. Your success can build momentum toward the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples planned for 2014. You can identify ways to bring to life the principles enshrined in the Declaration, and you can shape other important events on the international agenda. 2 decades ago in Rio, Indigenous peoples were active at the United Nations Conference on the Environment and Development. Maybe some of you were there. We need you now even more with the Rio Plus 20 conference coming up next year. From the forests to the oceans, from the mountains to the desert, around our world, you are guardians of nature. We need you to help influence the decisions we make today on energy and the environment, decisions which will affect generations to come. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, earlier this year in Guatemala, I met with Roberta Menchu. I remember when she won the Nobel Prize in 1992. Just before they made the announcement, people kept asking her, "What if you win? What if you lose?" Here was her answer. She said, I quote, "With the Nobel Prize, there are no losers or winners. There is a chance to hear about the struggle of people who are oppressed, a chance to be heard, and we hope that this chance never ends." End of quote. We must end the oppression, and we must ensure that indigenous peoples are always heard. Raise your voices here at this forum and beyond, and I will urge the world to listen to your voices. Thank you very much.
Agradezco al secretario general su.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General, for that statement. It's my understanding that the Secretary General now has to leave us to attend to other business. I thank him for his presence here this morning, and I wish to briefly suspend the meeting in order to allow him to depart from the podium. Thank you.
Invito ahora al secretario.
I now would like to invite the Undersecretary General for Economic and Social Affairs, Mr. Xia Shugang, to make some opening remarks.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Excellencies, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished representatives of Indigenous Peoples Organizations, distinguished elders, ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues and offer a special welcome to new members of the forum. Protecting and guaranteeing the rights of indigenous peoples has proved to be a significant challenge over the last decade. However, unlike any other time in history, the issue is now on the global radar. Within the United Nations, this is evident through the work of the Permanent Forum and other mechanisms. The space for indigenous peoples at the United Nations has only grown over time, largely due to the mobilization and the solidarity of indigenous peoples and the support of member states and other partners. Each year, this forum is better attended. The number of participating indigenous peoples organizations, non-governmental organizations, UN system partners, and other intergovernmental organizations continues to grow. This is a reflection of the great commitment of all concerned to overcome the challenges of indigenous people around the world. This increased participation is especially timely as we welcome the adoption of the General Assembly resolution to organize the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples to be held in 2014. I call upon member states with the leadership of the President of the General Assembly to ensure the active participation of indigenous peoples in the conference at all stages, including in the preparatory process and in deliberations for the outcome document. Distinguished representatives, it is also an honor for me to address you as Secretary General of the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, as also known as Rio Plus 20, which will be held in Brazil in June 2012. Rio Plus 20 is a tremendous opportunity for indigenous peoples to share their wisdom with all of us. Indigenous peoples have a unique understanding of the Mother Earth as a living entity, where all beings are interconnected and interdependent. I strongly recommend that you, the indigenous groups here today, fully participate in the Rio Plus 20 preparatory process through the Permanent Forum and CSD major groups. We need you to remind member states that green economy initiatives should integrate all the dimensions of development, including the economic, social, political, ecological, cultural, and spiritual considerations. The Rio Plus 20 conference is an opportunity for member states, the UN system, and our partners to renew political commitments and sharpen focus on sustainable development. This requires the strengthening the three pillars of sustainable development: social and economic, as well as environment. In this regard, we must pay attention to the rights and the priorities of indigenous peoples. Indigenous peoples are among the most vulnerable, yet are also most severely impacted by climate change and the loss of lands, habitats, and resources. Honorable members of the Permanent Forum, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to say a few words on the process of the Permanent Forum. I wish to commend the decision to hold an in-depth dialogue with UN agencies. This year's dialogue is with the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF. It will provide forum members and observers the opportunity to learn more about UNICEF's work with indigenous peoples and to discuss how it can be strengthened even further. The forum will also hold a dialogue with the government of Colombia regarding the situation of the Awá people. This particular dialogue is born of the forum's initiative to have in-depth discussions with member states based on voluntary reports. I commend the commitment of the member states to seek the forum's advice on improving the situation of indigenous peoples in their countries. I am sure this discussion will be productive and useful for future sessions. I would like to recognize the cooperation and support of the Office of the President of the General Assembly in leading the discussion on the World Conference on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples to be held in 2014. Let us exchange ideas on how to organize a successful conference with the full and effective participation of indigenous peoples. I would also like to thank the government of Canada and the United States of America for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the Permanent Forum in March. We highly appreciate your support. And many thanks go to the member states who made contributions to the Trust Fund of the Permanent Forum in the year 2010. Canada, Cyprus, Denmark, Estonia, Germany, and Madagascar. I express my deep appreciation for your contribution. It is through this trust fund that we directly support indigenous peoples, as well as the work of the forum. I urge other member states to consider responding to our call for contributions. Madam Chair, distinguished members of the forum, ladies and gentlemen, the United Nations commitment to the rights of indigenous peoples is evident through many channels. The establishment of the Permanent Forum, the adoption of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, the establishment of the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and the creation of the Expert Mechanism on Rights of Indigenous Peoples. These achievements play an important role in integrating indigenous issues throughout the United Nations system and in engaging member states in this work. It is time to take decisive steps to emphasize inclusiveness with respect to indigenous peoples and to make the Declaration a living document. To all indigenous peoples, your energy, commitment, and support once again renew our hope that there is no limit to what we can accomplish in your countries and in your communities and throughout the world. For that, I thank you. I wish the forum every success in your deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thank Mr. Shaw for his statement. Distinguished members of the forum, we shall now proceed to the election of the other officers for the Bureau for this session. I first give the floor to Mr. Devashish Roy.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, Honourable Undersecretary General, Mr. Shah, my colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, excellencies. I am Chakma Jumma from the Chittagong Hill Tracts region in Bangladesh. Greetings to you all. It gives me much pleasure and honor to propose names for election of members of what we call the Bureau, which consists of the Rapporteur and four Vice Chairpersons. And since I am another male, like my brother here who proposed, Saul, the names of our colleagues, you can guess the female and male composition. Maybe it will be not another surprise, but let me give you the names. For Rapporteur, we have Ms. Paimani Haste. For the four Vice Chairpersons, I propose the names of my sisters and brothers, Mr. Ed John, Ms. Daly Sambo Dara, Ms. Eva Biode, and Mr. Paul Kanyanke Sena. Thank you very much.
Agradezco al señor Roy.
I thank Mr. Roy for the nomination of Madam Dali Sambodoro, Mr. Edward John, Ms. Eva Biode, and Mr. Paul Kaniike Sena as vice chairs, and Mrs. Paimane Haste as rapporteur of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. I now give the floor to Ms. Megan Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. What's wrong? I'm very honoured to second those nominations for the Bureau members of the Permanent Forum. Yeah.
Agradezco a la señora Davis su declaración.
I thank Ms. Davis for her statement. May I take it that the members of the forum wish to elect Ms. Deli Sambo Doro, Mr. Edward John, Ms. Eva Biode, and Mr. Paul Kaninke Sena as vice chairs, and that they wish to elect Ms. Paima Haste as rapporteur of the 10th session of the permanent forum? It is so decided. We can now applaud.
Quiero ahora felicitar.
I now would like to congratulate Ms. Dali Sambodoro, Mr. Edward John, Ms. Eva Biode, and Mr. Kol Kaninki Sena for their election as vice chairs. And I'd like to congratulate Ms. Paimane Haste for her election as rapporteur. We shall now proceed to deal with some organizational matters for this session. I now propose to members of the forum to proceed with the adoption of the provisional agenda for the 10th session as contained in document E/C.19/2011/1. The provisional agenda for the 10th session was proposed by the Permanent Forum at its 2010 session and was approved by the Economic and Social Council in July of 2010. At its 9th session in 2010, the Permanent Forum also decided to hold a half-day discussion at its 10th session in 2011 on the theme, The Right to Water and Indigenous Peoples, as reflected in paragraph 129 of its report. However, due to a technical oversight, this item was not included in the provisional agenda proposed in the report. I therefore propose that the item, half-day discussion on the right to water and Indigenous peoples, be inserted in the agenda of the current session as agenda item 7, and that the subsequent agenda items be renumbered accordingly. Would members of the forum like to make any comments on the agenda as contained in the document I indicate with the oral revision I have just proposed? May I take it then that the provisional agenda as orally revised is acceptable to all members of the forum? The agenda for the 10th session, as orally revised, is adopted. I now wish to draw the attention of the forum to the proposed organization of work as contained in document E/C.19/2011/L1. This document was prepared by the Secretariat in consultation with members of the forum. It is a reference guide for the session containing a detailed description of our program of work on a day-to-day basis. Therefore, as the agenda we just adopted was revised to include an additional agenda item, both the agenda and the program of work will be reissued later today in order to reflect the updated agenda. I would now like to make a statement in my capacity as chairperson of the 10th session of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, if I may. Under Secretary General for Economic and Social Affairs, Mr. Shah Sukang, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, distinguished observers from member states, brothers and sisters, leaders, young people, ladies and gentlemen, men, women, leaders of Indigenous peoples, observers of the intergovernmental system, non-governmental organizations, members of the academic world and the media, Indigenous sisters and brothers. It is with great pleasure that I welcome all of you here today at this 10th session of the Permanent Forum. let me first pay my enormous respects to the Onondaga Nation and peoples, original owners of this land, and I'd like to welcome them most particularly, especially Mr. Tadotao Sidhil, the traditional chief of the Onondaga Nation. As you might be aware, my fellow members of the Permanent Forum and myself are in a new three-year period following our elections last year. So, for many of us, this 10th session will be a new experience. I would like to thank my fellow members of the Permanent Forum for the trust they placed in me by electing me as chairperson for this session of the forum. I will certainly do all I can for a successful session. I would also like to take this opportunity to express my profound thanks, appreciation, and admiration on behalf of all of the members of the forum to the previous permanent forum members and the previous chairs, Mr. Ole Hendrik Maga, Ms. Victoria Tauli Corpus, and Mr. Carlos Mamani. They all worked with great competence, commitment, and leadership over the past 9 years. I now want to say that I am especially thankful to the governments of Canada and the United States of America for hosting the pre-sessional meeting of the forum, which took place 28 through 30 March in 2011 in Ottawa, Canada. The pre-sessional meeting allowed us to make all the necessary arrangements for this session and was attended by most of the members of the forum, to whom I wish to express my gratitude for their active participation. We also appreciated the meeting that we had with Indigenous peoples organizations, representatives of the Government of Canada and the United States, including Ms. Kimberly Teehee, the White House Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs. Thank you also for the reception hosted by the Grand Chief Ed John, member of the Permanent Forum for North America, and the Ad Hoc Coalition in Support of Indigenous Peoples Human Rights Organizations. Let me now turn to some of the work that needs to be done over the next 2 weeks. In January of this year, the Permanent Forum held an international expert group meeting on the subject Indigenous Peoples and Forests. The workshop was organized by the Secretariat of the Permanent Forum and was attended by various members, state experts, United Nations entities, Indigenous Peoples organizations, and non-governmental organizations. The conclusions and recommendations of this expert group meeting will provide important input for the discussions of this session. The expert group meeting report adopted by consensus is part of the documents for this session. I would like to quickly highlight some of the highlights for this session. Under the human rights agenda item, there will be a panel discussion on the Permanent Forum's mission to Colombia in 2010. Once again, as in previous years, there will be a dialogue with the Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, Mr. James Anaya, and there will be a dialogue with Mr. José Carlos Morales, the current chair of the Expert Mechanism on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. We are also pleased that there will be a statement by the African Commission on Human and Peoples' Rights. In keeping with the work to strengthen cooperation with United Nations agencies, as mentioned earlier, the forum will hold a dialogue with UNICEF. I hope that the Indigenous peoples, participants, and states will all participate in this dialogue because UNICEF does important work and we need to continue to work closely with them on youth and children's issues as well as adolescent issues for our peoples and nations. This year, the permanent forum will hold a half-day discussion on Central, South America, and the Caribbean. This discussion will provide a better understanding on how to address the challenges before us in this region. Next week, the forum will also hold a half-day discussion on the right to water and indigenous peoples. As we know, indigenous peoples' right to water is not limited to access to safe drinking water and sanitation, but the right to water is also closely linked to a range of other rights, including self-determination, survival, health, land, resources, and cultural and spiritual practices. The right to water is a human right that is protected in a wide range of international instruments, including the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. There is a fundamental link between accessing water and living in dignity. For this item, there will be a panel presentation, as this is a very important issue. I am sure there will be extremely interesting interventions during this discussion on this issue, which is so important to our nations and people. There will also be a discussion on the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples to be held in 2014, as well as a discussion on Rio+20. I've just highlighted a couple of the issues that we will be addressing during this session. We have a productive agenda full of activities, including many side and cultural events. We have the Permanent Forum's cultural event tomorrow, Tuesday evening, for the opening of the Indigenous Photographic Exhibition, organized by the Department of Public Information and the United Nations NGO Committee for the Second Decade and the Secretariat of the UN Permanent Forum. There will also be a reception for the closing of the photographic exhibition hosted by the Australian government on the evening of Thursday, 26 May. In closing, I would like to reiterate my gratitude to my co-members of the Permanent Forum for taking on their important role and responsibilities, which includes engaging with various processes at the national, regional, and international level to facilitate the implementation of the Permanent Forum's recommendations, and also to raise awareness of the issues which are important for Indigenous peoples. As I said, this is at the national, regional, and international level. I could not conclude without thanking our Secretariat, which has been working tirelessly, not only to prepare this session, but also to keep the fire burning in between sessions. I would also like to thank the representatives of the Indigenous peoples, organizations, and nations. And I would most especially like to thank our spiritual guides, elders, men and women, and especially the young youth representatives who have bravely taken over the continuation of the struggles of our peoples and nations. I also thank the governments, the members of the Interagency Support Group on Indigenous Peoples' Issues, and NGOs who have done their share to implement the Permanent Forum's recommendations as well as the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Brothers and sisters, finally, I would like to conclude by paying tribute to the Indigenous peoples of the world, of all ages, of all Indigenous peoples, who continue to work for their rights, often sacrificing their own lives in this struggle. I invite each and every one of you to work together with all of us so that we can make this session, this 10th session, meaningful and worthwhile in the lives of all Indigenous peoples around the globe. Thank you.
Invito ahora a la
now invite Ms. Kimberly Teehee, White House Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs of the United States of America, to make a statement. Madam Teehee, you have the floor.
Good afternoon. I am Kimberly Teehee, Senior Policy Advisor for Native American Affairs to President Barack Obama. I'm also a member of the Cherokee Nation. I want to thank the Permanent Forum for inviting the United States to make a statement at this year's opening session. We very much appreciate the invitation and the opportunity it presents for increased engagement of member states with the forum. I'm also pleased, from a personal perspective, to be able to participate again this year. I had the pleasure of addressing you last April during the half-day discussion on North America. I hope this is the beginning of a pattern and that there will be many more opportunities for fruitful exchanges. Finally, I would like to congratulate the new members of the forum. I have had the opportunity to meet many of you, old and new members, and have been impressed by the commitment and thoughtfulness you bring to the work of the forum. I wish you a very successful tenure. The United States was pleased to receive the invitation to address the forum on its 10th anniversary because we see the Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues as an important venue for exploring how those who are committed to addressing the many challenges faced by Indigenous peoples around the world, around the globe, can learn from each other and move forward to address those challenges. In its first 10 years, the Permanent Forum has made many significant contributions, both by raising the international profile of Indigenous issues generally and by doing important work on specific issues. Recognizing the important role of the UN Permanent Forum, the United States chose last year's session as the venue in which to announce that the United States would review its position on the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Ambassador Rice explained that the United States would conduct a formal review of the U.S. position on the Declaration, and we did. During the process, we had multiple consultation sessions with tribal leaders and other meetings with interested groups and individuals. We also received over 3,000 written submissions. All of that information was reviewed and considered by an interagency team. It took us a while, but we think that inclusive process was very important. As I suspect you know, the result of that review was President Obama's announcement on December 16, 2010, at the White House Tribal Nations Conference that the United States lends its support to the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. As President Obama stated, the aspirations the Declaration affirms, including the respect for the institutions and rich cultures of Native peoples, are ones we must always seek to fulfill. While the decision to support the UN Declaration was a very important one and the result of a lengthy process of consultation and review, we don't see it as an end in itself. That is because, again, quoting President Obama, what matters far more than words, what matters far more than any resolution or declaration, are actions to match those words. For that reason, I invite you to review the announcement document that was released to accompany President Obama's statement of support for the declaration. That document not only explains the U.S. position on the declaration, it also highlights some of the many U.S. initiatives on Native American issues and shows how the U.S. support for the declaration complements the Obama administration's ongoing efforts to improve the relationship between the U.S. government and tribal governments and to address the many historic inequities suffered by Native Americans. I know that much of Wednesday afternoon will be devoted to the discussion of the UN Declaration, therefore, I won't address it further now. Rather, because a number of the items on this year's agenda for the Permanent Forum are issues on which the United States has worked closely with tribal leaders, I would like to take a few moments to describe a few of those efforts. I do so for two reasons. First, I hope that our experiences may offer useful insights for other countries with Indigenous peoples facing similar challenges. Second, I would like to hear from others what has worked in their countries, and I hope sharing our U.S. efforts can begin that conversation. Before I get into specific U.S. programs and initiatives, however, I would like to make one general comment. President Obama is committed to strengthening the unique government-to-government relationship between the U.S. government and federally recognized Indian tribes. This unique relationship is not only set forth in U.S. law, it also reflects the enormous contributions that tribes have made and continue to make to the cultural, social, and political traditions of this country. Despite those contributions, Native Americans often suffer greatly due to misguided government policies. I spoke at length about that history at the Permanent Forum last year, so I won't do so again today. However, I will note that our experience has taught us that tribal self-determination, the ability of tribal governments to determine how to build and sustain their own communities, is necessary for successful and prospering communities. It is with that lesson in mind that we approach the issues covered by the specific items on the Permanent Forum's agenda this year. The global economic downturn has affected communities all across the globe, but often indigenous peoples have been hit particularly hard. This is certainly true in the United States. However, the U.S. government has taken many steps to promote economic and social development in Native American communities in both the short and long terms. Perhaps the most important long-term investment for any country, people, individual, is in education. Tribal leaders have stressed, in particular, the importance of greater tribal control over the education of Native American students. The administration has proposed changes to U.S. law to enhance the role of tribes in the education of their youth and to give them greater flexibility in the use of federal funds to meet the unique needs of Native American students. We have also accelerated the rebuilding of schools on tribal lands and are working to improve the programs available at tribal colleges. Another crucial component of economic and social development is the health of our people. Yet health care is often insufficient in indigenous communities. President Obama took a major step towards addressing health care gaps for both indigenous and non-indigenous communities in the United States by signing into law last year landmark legislation known as the Affordable Care Act. Significantly, the legislation provides permanent authorization for the Indian Health Care Improvement Act, which modernizes and updates health care services available to those who use the Indian Health Service, which includes most American Indians and Alaska Natives. We expect it to make a huge difference in the lives and health of Native Americans. Internationally, the United States is supporting upcoming high-level meetings on non-communicable diseases and HIV/AIDS, and will be focusing on the impacts of both issues on indigenous peoples. Our First Lady, Michelle Obama, has also made a particular effort to involve Native American youth in her Let's Move initiative to address childhood obesity. She has, for example, recruited Native American athletes like American football stars Sam Bradford, a member of the Cherokee Nation, and Levi Horn, a member of the Northern Cheyenne tribe, to encourage Indian kids to adopt healthy lifestyles. One public health challenge on which we are focusing particularly intensely is the unacceptably high rates of suicide by Native American youth. We know that this tragedy is not unique to North America. The administration has held listening sessions with tribal leaders across the country and would be very interested in sharing what we know about the problem and learning from others what they have found to be successful in addressing this issue. As we've been told repeatedly by tribal leaders, no community can prosper economically or socially unless its basic needs for public safety are met. It is for this reason, including unacceptably high rates of violence against women. This statute gives tribes greater authority to prosecute crimes and increases federal accountability for public safety in tribal communities. The Bureau of Indian Affairs at the U.S. Department of Interior has also launched an intense community policing pilot program on 4 reservations experiencing high crime rates. We are already seeing promising results, and the Bureau hopes to expand the program in the near future. Tribal leaders who have met with President Obama have stressed to him the importance of investment in infrastructure. President Obama agrees, and we have been supportive of many economic development initiatives focused on the needs of Native Americans. One exciting initiative was the announcement in December by Energy Secretary Chu of the establishment in the Department of Energy of an Office of Indian Energy Policy and Programs, led by a member of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. The office is charged with directing and implementing energy planning and programs that assist tribes with energy development and electrification of Indian lands and homes. It has done extensive outreach to Indian tribes regarding energy issues on tribal lands, and earlier this month held a Department of Energy tribal summit that brought together 350 participants, including tribal leaders and high-ranking cabinet officials, to interact directly on energy development and related issues. The U.S. government is also working with tribal leaders to bring their communities into the 21st century by equipping them with high-speed access to internet. Both the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Commerce have programs to do so and have awarded loans and grants worth over $1.5 billion for projects to benefit tribal areas. These infrastructure investments go hand in hand with a wide range of projects to create jobs in Indian Country and prepare Native Americans to fill them. I hope that these few examples that I have given today help demonstrate the extent of U.S. initiatives to address the needs of Native American communities across our country. However, we recognize that a lot more needs to be done, both in the United States and in many other countries as well. That is why we are here. No country and no indigenous people have all the answers. That includes the United States. We believe that a very important role the permanent forum can play is to help indigenous peoples and states, including the United States, to identify what works to combat problems that many of us share in common, like unemployment in native lands or youth suicide, and then to replicate those successful practices at home. By combining knowledge in this way and working collaboratively to build a consensus on what needs to be done, we can help ensure a better future for all of our peoples. What better goal could we have for the second decade of the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues? Thank you.
Agradezco a la señora T.
I thank Ms. Teehee for her statement. And I now give the floor to Ms. Rebecca Greenspan, Undersecretary General and Associate Administrator of the United Nations Development Program. You have the floor, Madam.
Señora Presidenta,
Madam Chairman, dear Myrna Cunningham, representatives of Indigenous peoples and member states, distinguished members of the Permanent Forum, friends and colleagues. I am grateful to have the opportunity to once again address the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. First, I would like to congratulate the forum in this 10th anniversary session for providing us with an invaluable opportunity to reflect on the progress we've been making in human rights and fundamental freedoms of Indigenous peoples throughout the world, and reflection on what is we can do collectively in order to address the most pressing priorities that remain. To date, much of our focus has been rightly on the need to increase the voice and representation of the Indigenous peoples in national and international decision-making, both in the regional local levels and the international level. And this work remains critical. Here at the forum's 10th session, however, I think it's important to put this work into the broader context of our global efforts to advance sustainable human development. Expanding the rights, voice, and participation and opportunities for Indigenous peoples is essential not only as objectives in their own right, but also crucial to any society that aims to generate the kind of inclusive development that will build communities that are more just, diverse, and cohesive. Human development, full human development, is not possible where discrimination, injustice, and social exclusion prevail, and where there is a lack of recognition that all groups bring value to society with their different worldviews. Human development is about enabling people to live the lives they value without discrimination while exercising their individual and collective rights. Therefore, if we define development as expanding people's choices to live the life they desire and value, then development should help societies recognize and integrate ethnic groups, religions, languages, and values in order to avoid cultural exclusion that makes people's contributions invisible to society, as we indicated here last year. More than 20 years after the human development movement first called on member states to recognize that people are the true wealth of nations, more than 20 years after that, we find that exclusion and discrimination remain significant barriers to progress. According to the United Nations Permanent Forum, 370 million people living in the world today that are indigenous make up as much as 15% of the world's poor. It is estimated that up to one-third of the rural poor are indigenous. In 2010, the 20th anniversary of the Human Development Report confirmed that most measures of human development are, in fact, lower for indigenous peoples in high or low-income countries alike compared to the rest of the population. Indigenous peoples have significantly lower life expectancy, educational attainment, and income compared to the rest of the population, which highlights significant gaps to achieve for the Millennium Development Goal. To close the gaps and reverse observed trends, countries need to act in three key areas. First, they will need more inclusive governance systems, according to the principles of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. In this context, we can see some significant progress, in particular in Latin America, where indigenous movements have been increasingly able to engage meaningfully in political processes. And yet, in too many places, there is still a lack of cultural understanding which leads to discrimination and exclusion. In this sense, the UNDP is strengthening its capacity to work for the rights of indigenous peoples more effectively from a human rights basis and under the area of democratic governance, thus responding to the recommendations of this forum in 2010. Therefore, UNDP is contributing to promoting more inclusive governance systems. For instance, in Latin America and the Caribbean, we work with government officials and indigenous peoples for greater knowledge and understanding of political processes that would be truly participatory. In the Asia-Pacific region, we continue to facilitate region-wide policy dialogues designed to help policymakers translate the aspirations of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples into meaningful development policy. In the Pacific, for instance, the UNDP supports efforts to engage traditional leadership in local governance. The full and meaningful participation of indigenous peoples is also central to the UNDP's support for UN RED, the UN program for reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. The UNDP helped to develop safeguards to ensure that all these actions and activities would adhere to the principles of the Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Persons of the United Nations.
including the right to free, prior, and informed consent. We are pioneering efforts to take these standards forward, working with indigenous peoples to translate them into practice. Second, countries must intensify their efforts in meeting the Millennium Development Goals relating to communities and issues that are the most important to indigenous peoples. We know that to that end, we need specific strategies that are guided by the views and priorities of indigenous peoples, and it's important to overcome what we call the invisibility, which is manifested, for example, in an absence of adequate statistical data and information. The UNDP is supporting the capacity of countries to collect disaggregated data in order to better address the barriers to human development generated with the participation of indigenous peoples themselves. We are also rolling out what we call the Millennium Development Goals Acceleration Framework. This is an innovative tool to help countries identify where the real barriers are that prevent progress towards the MDGs, often related to exclusion and discrimination, often related as well to other key areas such as the need for culturally adapted services, and these have been included in this framework in line with last year's forum's guidelines. In Belize, for example, applying the acceleration framework helped the government of Belize to identify why rural areas, primarily populated by Mayan communities, were not receiving adequate water and sanitation services. The lack of representation and participation by stakeholders in local water boards and the lack of accountability were identified as the main obstacles. Therefore, specific measures were then agreed upon in order to improve the governance of water boards, making them more inclusive and accountable. Similarly, the government of Laos used the acceleration framework to generate support for proven interventions in order to improve primary education for girls in its 56 most disadvantaged and mainly rural districts. Finally, in order to achieve inclusive government, nations need to strengthen their institutions and provide more capable public administration. With the second cycle of the Universal Periodic Review commencing next year, it will be important to support governments, national human rights institutions, indigenous peoples, and civil society to integrate the recommendations of this forum. Harmonizing legislation and organizational objectives with human rights principles is, of course, only the first step. Critically, laws and initiatives to protect and advance the rights of indigenous peoples must translate into policy and practice that is specific. The UNDP is fully committed to helping countries to both harmonize their legal systems and strengthen their institutions as needed to make the law more accessible and meaningful. Our success in advancing the rights of indigenous peoples will depend on our joint work and a partnership with all stakeholders represented in this room today. From the United Nations, through the slogan "United in Action, Delivery is One," we are trying to implement the spirit of common purpose. In Nicaragua, for example, the United Nations instituted a dialogue process and partnership with indigenous peoples and Afro-descendants, thereby assuring that their views and priorities would be fully integrated into the United Nations work in Nicaragua. Also, in keeping with this spirit, and as a direct response to the United Nations Declaration on Indigenous Peoples' Rights and the declaration of last year of this permanent forum, the international organization, ILO, the UNDP, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, and UNICEF have joined forces to establish the UN Indigenous Peoples Partnership, UNIP, which will be launched this Friday. Our agencies are teaming up together and have committed to help countries implement the provisions of the Declaration and the ILO Convention of 169 at a country level. The partnership will include, for example, efforts to establish mechanisms for more effective dialogue and consultative processes, strengthening access to justice and conflict prevention over ancestral lands and the use of natural resources. We look forward to involving other members of the United Nations system and to working with all of you present here today to make this initiative successful, which I think is a great step forward in order to meet the recommendations of this forum. The guidance of this permanent forum will be most important in this regard. Working together, Indigenous peoples, governments, and the international community can put an end to exclusion and discrimination once and for all, and enable Indigenous peoples to exercise their full rights in free and diverse societies, and to continue enriching those societies to reach their full potential. And in that way, we will truly achieve fully human development throughout the world, which is sustainable. Thank you very much, and I wish you every success in this 10th permanent forum session.
Muchas gracias, señora Greenspan.
Thank you, Madam Greenspan, for that statement and for reiterating your commitment to working on implementing the recommendations of this forum. Distinguished members of the forum, distinguished observers, friends, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the time allotted for this session. Unless any members would like to take the floor at this time, I would propose that we adjourn this session. This afternoon, at 3 p.m., we will begin our discussion of item 3A of the agenda. The meeting will be taking place in Conference Room 1 in the North Lawn Building. The meeting is adjourned.
Sobre eventos paralelos, nobody's here. ¿Cuáles son? Todos estos. En la sala 1 y la sala 8 hay eventos.
In room 1 and room 8 of the North Lawn, there are parallel events. Room 8 in this building and room 1 in the North Lawn building for the side events.